very rich lecture with so many aspects. The floor is open for asking questions or contributions, please. Discussion.
I'm still somewhat in awe. Could you maybe expand a little on Jevci's notion of resistance to decolonization forming as nationalism is in itself a function here?
Yeah. The Indian nationalists, Chatterjee has written several books on nationalism, and the one critique that he keeps bringing out against Indian nationalists is that they all believe in Western science and Western expert knowledge and Western forms of institutions. And what they want to do is they want to take these Western institutions and Western sciences, and they want Indians to practice that. So to what degree does it become a uniquely indigenous form of modernity or something that is creative, you know? So in fact, if we look at the writings of Vivekananda, for example, the 19th century philosopher, he would say that science and rationality is absolutely universal. What is the problem with accepting English science? This is what he said. But at the same time, the same Vivekananda wants a kind of a Hindu religion, which is a unique contribution of India to the world. So what the nationalists ended up doing is they created a dichotomy between the spiritual and the political. And this is something that Chatterjee finds problematic. And this is something that he has an interesting essay on women and in nationalism. And that the nationalists gave women the job of continuing the spiritual legacy of India, you know, an external job. So that is the internal job that was done by women, and externally the man went there in the public space to occupy institutions and so forth. So in that sense, it is reproducing all of the dogmas of liberal theory, according to Chatterjee. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other questions? I'm feeling that this the last point you said now, this is a sort of a dispute between Chatterjee and Vivekananda's position.
Yeah.
Well, and the Vivekananda position option would be very comparable to what happened in Japan during this late 19th century in Japan, when they said, well, let's stay Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah. In heart and customs and so on, and let's modernize and take in science and techniques and so on, which is a very interesting option for many regions in the world. So how did it, wasn't that also very popular in India?
Of course it is popular. It's the most predominant form of modernity in India is to remain Indian in heart.
Yeah.
Like Japanese in heart, and to be kind of European in your external manners.
Yeah.
But Chatterjee's problem with this is that it sort of introduces dualism between the domain of the spirit and the domain of the politics or practice, and a kind of a schizophrenia.
What is then the alternative for him?
The alternative for Chatterjee is to perhaps try to reconcile these two through a collective struggle where we don't keep referring to the West for a political resistance, you know. So, for example, if we were to refer to the West for a political resistance, then we would be taking Western institutions and trying to capture Western institutions. So against that, maybe a kind of like Foucault, you know, he advocates a more decentralized position where he says peasant resistance, for example. At several stages in the 19th and 20th century, peasants have resisted colonization in their own way, and they have not got rid of the indigenous customs, but they have at the same time found that there is something wrong with an alien power imposing itself. But this peasant resistance that has been largely local has been neglected by Indian historians, by Indian political scientists. So we need to turn to, as they put it, the subaltern way of doing resistance. which would be local collectivity,
yeah,
where we keep a certain unity between the spirit and the politics, yeah, without segregating the two.
Speaking about the subaltern and Gayatri Spivak's essay, on the question whether a subaltern can speak, she doesn't give a clear or an easy answer to this question. And she's also referring to the colonial argument that, let's say, that the moral power of the colonial regime derives also from the fact that the British tried to save the Indian woman from Sabi.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I'm wondering to what extent Vietnam as a movie is not just repeating this same argument by turning it the other way around. And isn't also, to a certain extent, Bollywood producing, let's say, an almost too pure image of, let's say, of sexual identity in terms of Shah Rukh Khan, Amir Khan? And to what extent are movies like, I'm thinking of Deeply Life, for example, possible? In Bollywood, People Like was produced by Amir Khan, and it's, to my opinion, one of the first movies where you find an actor which is completely, let's say, taken out of the Bollywood regime by focusing on one of the major issues which is concerning India at the moment, and this is biopolitics on an agricultural level and the so-called suicide farmers.
Yeah, this is very interesting and a large canvas you have opened up there. I don't think that, I agree with you, Bollywood, particularly since the 1990s, I'm trying to track a little bit of Bollywood in the context of modernity. I think it reproduces this dichotomy between the inner and the outer. Because when you see a lot of this diaspora films of Shah Rukh Khan, for example, you know, you can be Indian in your heart, but when it comes to the externals, you follow the American system, and they constantly talk about people living in America. So what has that got to do with anybody in India? That is the problem with Bollywood, that nobody can identify with Bollywood anymore on a mass scale. But at the same time, I think Shah Rukh Khan, you mentioned him, has, I think, ushered in a way of looking at masculinity that is different from the traditional Bollywood masculinity, which is violent and aggressive. He brings in a softer masculinity. He brings in alternate sexualities and so forth, you know, into the script. Now, coming to Gayatri Spivak's essay, can we not say that what Elizabeth was doing in Lagan is civilizing the Indians? Because after all, cricket is a game that civilizes. Now, however, this is a case of turning the empire on its head, isn't it? Because by teaching the game, she is able to make them disrupt the empire, because the British lose control over them precisely because they are able to defeat the British at the game. So something Indian is escapes that, doesn't it? That it is not so much as it cuts both ways. At one level, a civilizing mission, but at the same time, it is a woman who is entering a largely masculine game, and it is a British woman, and she is not doing her traditional job of maintaining the unity of the British family in the colony, but she is teaching, quote unquote, the natives to play cricket, and there, you know, getting herself all corrupted with that nativism. So in that sense, I think it is an important moment there of mixing of cultures that are hierarchically related. And yes, can the subaltern speak? Gayatri Spivak's answer is ambivalent, and the same ambivalence is there in Partha Chatterjee also, because there are several essays by, for example, in the subaltern group that he started with Ranajit Guha, you know, who has written extensively on peasant resistance. It is Ranajit Guha who has written on peasant resistance. However, we find that here again, the extent to which a very local kind of modernity that is not exactly mixed up with British modernity, to what degree is this feasible in this time and age? This is something he needs to interrogate further, which he has not done. Yeah. But my point was that perhaps we need to combine the sexual politics of Foucault with the colonial politics of Partha Chatterjee. You know, more such exercises should perhaps be done. And maybe those would be examples of intercultural dialogue, because we are thrown. I mean, it is not even normative. I think it's a transcendental condition in a way, interculturality. We are thrown into intercultural context, and the problem is that the cultures are hierarchically related. So how does one deal with that hierarchy, or a culture that is superior to mine, you know?
Yeah, which is not a very easy question now.
Yeah.
To answer would take time, which we do not have.
Okay.
Time. It's a rare good. And thank you very much for this fascinating overview and for so many points. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you for all your input.
Yes.